for the American Journal. We're excited you're jumping on with us. Second hour of the program about to kick off. We're waiting for Jack Smith to make his way to his congressional hearing. When he begins to speak, we'll bring it straight to you, of course. I've got a lot that I want to hear about. So we look forward to talking about that in a little bit. We also looked forward to seeing what unravels in front of another congressional hearing that is expected to start around 2:30 p.m. Eastern time. Now, this one will be interesting because it's going to be a group of health insurance CEOs. They're going to get grilled, obviously. Democrats are going to want to make it look like they're fighting for the average American. And so are Republicans. They're going to try to get their little sound bites in. But I think this is going to be really important, given the fact that President Trump is trying to just completely toss out Obamacare and try to, instead of giving these billions of dollars to these health insurance companies, give it to the American people so that they could purchase these markets on the free market. It's quite the complex issue, though. So Sally Pipes will be joining us in the third hour of the show, detailing what that all actually means. And then we'll be bringing you to Davos as well in the third hour of the program to detail what's been happening over there. That are Republicans on the ground. So is Larry Taunton as well. And they have a lot that they want to tell us about, which we look forward to. You know, it's so crazy that I constantly am fact-checking both a lot of media outlets. I try my best to get both sides of a story when a media outlet does push out a story. DHS yesterday, I got to give credit where credit's due. I know I don't like government, but DHS has by far one of the best communications teams. And the reason why I'm telling you that is within 2 minutes of me trying to fact check the Associated Press report that dropped yesterday, they had a response and they sent it over my way super, super fast. Super fast. It's all in regards to the AP, which was reporting yesterday that there was some memo that they alleged that they got their hands on. And they claimed that in that memo, it was pretty much telling immigration officers that they could enter homes without warrants. Now, again, there's obviously a legal thing here, but the caption itself, the headline itself, which was trying to intentionally get these people in trouble, they intentionally drop out this very controversial headline. And then most Americans, just because they're not very bright, I'm talking about the Democrats here, are not going to read into the story. So I reached out to the AP, to the DHS specifically, and DHS did say that there are legal grounds that do take place here. Trisha McLaughlin giving us a statement yesterday about that. You know, and this is the problem with all these outlets. I mean, they're just so full of it. The goal here is to get everyone enraged and to not put out the facts. This is all about your emotion. It's not about your logic. And that's what they were doing yesterday. Trisha McLaughlin saying, you know, every illegal alien who DHS serves administrative warrants to, I-205s, have had full due process and a final order for removal from an immigration judge. And again, the officers issuing these administrative warrants also have found probable cause. For decades, the Supreme Court and Congress have recognized this. And of course, Democrats are trying to spin it. They are trying their very best to spin it. Now, when we look over right now, and we could probably show you, and we'll bring you to it in about 2 minutes. But Jim Jordan, the chairman of the Judiciary Committee right now, is speaking. And we're expected to hear from Jack Smith. Jack Smith is testifying again publicly, something that apparently he said he wanted. Unfortunately, though, House Republicans did not give him that. They did the closed door deposition, maybe hoping to get something for criminal charges. Maybe that's why they did it. But they did drop the transcript on literally the New Year's Eve, I believe it was. So folks, we're going to keep our eye on that, bring you to the congressional hearing once it begins, which it looks like it is. So buckle up. We've got a great hour heading your way. And we'll take you straight there. In the meantime, though, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. We've got incredible discounts going on right now on your favorite items. And you get a free t-shirt for supporting us. We're going to support you and give you some free gear over at thealexjonesstore.com. No minimum required.
The entire world is racing into the fourth turning and the greatest quickening our species has seen in 10,000 years of recorded history. You know you're in a war, right? And is it declared war? The globalists have declared war on Team Humanity. They've declared war on the God that made us. It is not incredible. It is not heroic. It is not amazing to fight this. It is survival. This is the priority. This is the real world. This is game time. This is the crossroads of human destiny right now. Right now. And I see a bunch of other people not realizing how desperate the situation is. We need maximum urgency. We're up against the most evil people the world's ever seen. Don't you understand that? I don't want anybody to go out and be physically violent. I want you to kill with truth. Kill with your will. Kill, kill, kill their lies.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
I'll probably go to it. Welcome to The American Journal. We're excited that you guys are joining us today. Jim Jordan is speaking right now in that House Judiciary Committee hearing where Jack Smith will be testifying. Let's just pop in and see what the chairman's talking about right now. Take a listen.
The Capitol, again, nothing. Then it was impeachment too. No secret hearings here because they didn't have any hearings. It was the snap impeachment, and the Senate trial actually took place after President Trump wasn't in office. Then, of course, it was Alvin Bragg, who said before he got elected district attorney that there was no case here. Then he gets elected and changes his mind when the left starts pressuring him to go after President Trump. He hires Michael Colangelo, former Democrat National Committee consultant, and the number three guy at the Department of Justice. And then, of course, it's Fannie Willis and Nathan Wade in Fulton County, Georgia. We actually deposed Mr. Wade, one of the most interesting depositions I've sat through. We said to him, you know, you billed taxpayers in Georgia thousands of dollars for meetings in D.C. with the January 6th committee and with the Biden administration. And we asked him some questions. Who'd you talk to, Mr. Wade? He couldn't remember. We said, where'd you meet? Did you meet the Capitol? Did you meet the White House? Where'd you meet? Couldn't remember that either. We said, were these meetings in person, on the phone, or did you have a Zoom meeting? Couldn't remember, couldn't remember, couldn't remember. We finally just asked him, did you really come to D.C. and meet people? He said, oh, yeah, I came, and I billed the taxpayers. I know I came, just no idea who he talked to or what he did. And then there was the raid on President Trump's home, you know, where they searched Barron's room and the First Lady's closet. In our deposition with Stephen D'Antuono, head of the FBI Washington field office, he told us none of the normal process, none of the normal protocol was followed in the investigation. He said, first of all, the case was run out of D.C. Normally, you run it out of the Miami field office. No, we're going to run it out of D.C. He said he recommended, and the people in the FBI at the time in the Washington field office recommended they give the president notice before they do the search, or at least when they got there, before they start the search, call the president's lawyers, ask them to come there and meet them and conduct the search together. Again, the answer from Maine Justice was no. Which brings us back to Mr. Smith. On November 18th, 2022, 3 days after President Trump announces he's running for president, Attorney General Garland names Jack Smith special counsel. One of the first things Mr. Smith does is put on his team the very people responsible for the raid on President Trump's home. The very people. And then Jack Smith also puts on his team the people responsible for getting the phone records of dozens of members of Congress. People like Thomas Wyndham, who, when we deposed him, took the Fifth 71 times. We've actually referred him to the Justice Department for obstructing our investigation. Jack Smith then gets a gag order in his investigation on President Trump from Judge Chutkan without filing a single affidavit with the court from a witness or a potential witness that they felt threatened by statements from the president. Stop and think about it. Jack Smith restricts the speech of the former president while he's a candidate for president. Thank goodness Mr. Smith was slapped down on appeal and the order was changed. In fact, just 2 weeks ago, the Washington Post editorial page Jack Smith would have blown a hole in the First Amendment. I just want to read two sentences from this. Mr. Smith seemed unconcerned about interfering in the democratic process by seeking to muzzle a candidate for high office. Three appellate judges, all nominated by Democrat presidents, ruled that Mr. Smith's proposed gag order infringed on President Trump's First Amendment rights. And of course they did. And this wasn't the only time Mr. Smith lost in court. In the classified documents case in Miami, Judge Cannon held that Mr. Smith was not permitted to be special counsel. Jack Smith was never properly appointed. In fact, he couldn't be properly appointed because he was never confirmed by the Senate for any position in the executive branch as the law requires. Here's what Judge Cannon stated. Quote, the special counsel's position effectively usurps that important legislative authority, transferring it to a head of department and in the process threatening the structural liberty inherent in the separation of powers. And of course, on July 1st, 2024, the United States Supreme Court ruled that President Trump...
All right, I'm going to step in on this. I had the displeasure of having to sit back and listen to the deposition that was given by Jack Smith. And Jack Smith did say that he does not regret trying to slap that gag order on President Trump because he deemed that President Trump was a threat to not only him and the prosecutors, but also to the judge and to the jury. I mean, they also claimed that... He would have tried to intimidate all those that were involved in the investigation. That's the reason why he went after there to get that gag order. Now, once Jack Smith begins to speak, we'll bring you straight there because that's obviously going to be very, very important. But we will listen in, of course. And if anything else happens that's important, we'll bring it to you. But again, it's just, you know, Jim Jordan getting his moment and kind of give you some overview as to what you could expect throughout today's hearing. I want to get to this clip 13, though, because why not talk about Don Lemon and how dumb he is? You know, as we sit here and we watch the one arrest that was just made by the one person who's accused of being the organizer of that so-called protest inside of that church in Minnesota. Again, the DOJ just saying we arrested one person, but Don Lemon would be a great person to arrest. And you probably should arrest him now so that you actually set the record straight, because Don Lemon described it not as a protest, but as an operation, and then openly admitted that, yeah, we're actually intimidating people and it's OK. In clip 13, Don Lemon's trying to go around and ask people about immigration and about illegal aliens. And he's trying to make it seem like illegal aliens didn't actually commit a crime to get into this country. But there's two people who probably aren't even well versed on the matter, but understand common sense here. And they kind of schooled Don Lemon. Take a listen.
Okay, crossing the border illegally is not a crime?
No, it's not a criminal act. Okay. It's a misdemeanor.
So why are they being sent back and saying that they're breaking the law?
That's the point.
Okay, as somebody that...
We don't know if they're breaking the law because they won't tell. There's no due process. Where's the evidence? That's the whole point. And if they are breaking the law, most people will say, okay, then they need to go if they're criminals. But if they're not... Why are they being rounded up and sent out, especially when he promised to deport the criminals, and now he's not doing that?
Yeah, I don't think we're going...
Misdemeanor is not a crime, is what you're saying.
Yeah. So misdemeanor is not a crime?
It's not a criminal act, no. If you get charged with a misdemeanor, that's not
so
a criminal act.
So why are you charged at all, then, if it's not a criminal act?
Because we have different levels of crime. Everything is not the same.
So it is crime.
No,
it's just
different levels. We have different levels of, I shouldn't say crime, but it's not a crime. You're not breaking the law. I mean, you are breaking the law, but it's not a criminal act.
So it's breaking the law.
It's no, breaking the law, but it's you're not breaking the law.
The misdemeanor is breaking the law.
No.
If you're speeding, drinking, get pulled over, DUI.
That's not a criminal act. Well, no, if you're speeding is a misdemeanor.
It's a misdemeanor.
Right.
So still breaking the law.
Okay, well, if you want to qualify that, we're doing semantics. But what I'm trying to tell you is everything is not the same. It's all not one thing.
But is it the law?
What? Is it the law that what?
Is it law to come
is
over
there
legally?
A law?
Is there a law?
There are rules that are processes that you should follow. Yeah, so you're breaking rules. You're breaking the rules, but you're not necessarily breaking a law.
So what happens if you break the rules?
Then you get... You suffer the consequences, but the consequences should not. No one is saying no one should suffer the consequences. You guys are getting things mixed up.
Oh, you're getting things mixed up, you peasants. Don Lemon knows everything. They're not breaking the law, just a rule, just a little rule. What's a rule? Well, probably a law, but don't talk about that. Don't talk about that. See, this is what the left does. They try to make it seem like it's a civil matter. Oh, it's a civil matter. Nothing major, nothing major. He just decided not to abide by the rules. The rules are we are a country with borders. We are allowed to decide who comes into our country. And when an invader decides to just stroll on in. Guess what? They're breaking the law. And they always go around and tell you, oh, we're just trying to seek asylum. They're not trying to seek asylum. Don Lemon is not a journalist, folks. You get that. I get that. But his defense is always going to be that he's a journalist just reporting on the news, nonpartisan. See, this is the difference between Don Lemon and the rest of the independent journalists is, you know, independent journalists are able to garner a audience because the audience trusts them. But if you look at Don Lemon's numbers, no one's watching his content. In fact, when we repost it, and this is why I love the fact that we don't actually allow him to get the clicks. Everyone's pulling his video and posting it separately. Normally, I'd say, don't do that. Independent journalists need to be supported. But don't put money into Don Lemon's pockets. If you're going to put a clip out there, word of advice, screen record and then post it separately. Don't give that man any monetization. All right, I'm looking right now over at the Judiciary Committee where Jack Smith is present. And Jamie Raskin is actually talking right now to, it looks like, Smith. So let's take a listen to what kind of nonsense he's spewing.
In Donald Trump's eyes and why he says you belong in prison, you found, and I quote from your sworn testimony before the committee, you found proof beyond a reasonable doubt that President Trump engaged in a criminal scheme to overturn the results of the 2020 election and to prevent the lawful transfer of power. When asked whether you believe the evidence was enough to obtain a criminal conviction against Donald Trump at trial, you had a one-word answer: yes. When asked if Donald Trump was responsible for the violence that took place at the Capitol on January 6th, you said, our view of the evidence was that he caused it and that he exploited it and that it was foreseeable to him. You found that Trump knew he had lost the election. How? Well, his own attorney general, William Barr, repeatedly told him so and described all of Trump's theories as BS. Trump's top campaign advisors told him he lost the election. Vice President Pence told him he lost the election. More than 60 federal, state, and court decisions, including 8 rendered by judges he appointed to the bench, rejected every outlandish election fraud and corruption claim that he made. Trump himself even privately acknowledged it, gesturing to Joe Biden on TV and saying, quote, can you believe I lost to that effing guy? He knew he lost, but he threw everything into his big lie, which some people, even in this room to this day, will stand by and swear by. Well, when the big lie wasn't enough to convince officials like Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger, a Republican, to commit election fraud and just fine Trump 11,780 votes, when it wasn't enough to convince Trump's DOJ to, quote, just call the election corrupt and leave the rest to me and the House Republicans, when it wasn't enough to force Vice President Mike Pence to announce and then exercise lawless powers to reject electoral college votes and use counterfeit slates to anoint Trump the winner, that's when Trump incited mass violence on January 6th. While more than 140 officers were being brutally assaulted by Trump's mob, while rioters beat them with flagpoles and sprayed them with chemical agents and crushed them in doorways, and while they chanted, hang Mike Pence, and chased the vice president out of the Capitol, Trump and his team worked the phones, calling not the National Guard, which was under the direct unilateral control of Donald Trump, but calling members of Congress, urging them to delay certification and to nullify the election results. Special Counsel Smith, you pursued the facts. You followed every applicable law, ethics rule, and DOJ regulation. Your decisions were reviewed by the Public Integrity Section. You acted based solely on the facts, the opposite of Donald Trump, who now has purported to take over the Department of Justice. He's in charge of the whole thing under his unitary executive theory, and he acts openly, purely based on political vendetta and motives of personal revenge, and he doesn't deny it. Our colleagues have complained about the special counsel's review of toll records, which are phone records like a phone bill, showing only the timing and duration of calls and containing no content, no substance whatsoever from the calls, but those records were lawfully subpoenaed because Donald Trump made those members of Congress relevant to the investigation. It was Trump who chose to call them to advance his criminal scheme. As you testified, Mr. Smith, if Donald Trump had chosen to call a number of Democratic senators, we would have gotten toll records for them, too. I trust our colleagues get the point, because America certainly gets the point. There is much Mr. Smith still can't talk about, though we know he badly wants to. His investigation developed what he calls powerful evidence that Trump stole documents containing our country's most sensitive secrets, hoarded them in the ballrooms and the bathrooms of his well-trafficked Mar-a-Lago social club. He showed them off to visitors. And then he obstructed a federal investigation.
All right, Jamie Raskin doing what he does best, trying to sell the American people a plate of BS. And the rest of you are probably just too smart to even buy it. He is a liar. He is a coward. He is a treasonous pig. And he is trying his very best to carry on this lie. This lie has resulted in, again, no actual results. Millions of dollars of your money and my money went to pay for this BS political persecution. Jamie Raskin doing his very best to justify all of this when there's really no justification for it at all, at all. When he sits there and he shows you all the boxes that they found at Mar-a-Lago, keep in mind, a lot of those images came after the FBI pulled these boxes out. Remember the pages that they scattered across the table? Well, that was staged. That was staged. And a reminder, by the way, folks, President Trump was president, so he has the authority to declassify whatever he wants. They love this at their own point to him, but he was president. You know who wasn't president when he decided to take classified documents? Joe Biden. Remember when he stored it behind a vehicle? What was it, a Corvette or some stupid thing that he had in his garage? Didn't care, though. Didn't care. And so remember all of this. Remember the nonsense they're trying to sell you on. As if President Trump didn't have the authority to declassify those documents, take those documents with him. Every president does. Every president does. That's where you would store classified documents. Again, he's the vice president at the top of it all when he was taking that picture. Keep that in mind. Didn't have the authority to do that. But did it anyway. Why? Well, because his family was selling our secrets. We know this. We know this. And then Hunter Biden just thinks he's immune and doesn't have to ever be held accountable. And if it wasn't true, why did Hunter Biden need that pardon? Probably because it's not true on his part when he sits there and he lies. If you saw the Sean Ryan interview, I was just talking to someone yesterday about it, and I was fired up. I was so angry because there was very little pushback as he continues to go out there and spew lies. And there's no pushback as Ryan's just sitting there like, wow, the laptop wasn't real. The Biden family literally took home classified documents, and nobody seems to care about any of this. Stored it in a garage. See, the president, President Trump, when he came back after his first term, he got the authorization from all the proper agencies, and they went through everything to make sure it was being safely stored. And again, we know that the evidence that they put out on display, that they put into those documents, we know that it was staged. We know that it was staged. The mainstream media doesn't want you to know that, though. Jamie Raskin doesn't want you knowing that, though. You think President Trump was really shuffling guests from Mar-a-Lago into the bathroom, showing them classified documents? He's hoping you're just as stupid as he is. All right, let's take things over to the committee hearing right now, because Jack Smith just started speaking. Let's take a listen.
Chairman Jordan, Ranking Member Raskin, members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to discuss my work as special counsel. I love my country and believe deeply in the core principles upon which it was founded. For nearly three decades, I've served as a career prosecutor in both Republican and Democratic administrations. I've handled cases ranging from domestic assault and gang violence to public corruption and election crimes across the United States, and I've prosecuted war crimes overseas. I am not a politician, and I have no partisan loyalties. My career has been dedicated to serving our country by upholding the rule of law. Throughout my public service, my approach has always been the same: follow the facts and the law without fear or favor. Experienced prosecutors know that specific case outcomes are beyond our control. Our responsibility is to do the right thing, the right way, for the right reasons. These principles have guided me through my career, including as special counsel. I'm proud of the work my team did, and I appreciate the opportunity to appear here today to correct false and misleading narratives about our work. During my tenure as special counsel, we followed Justice Department policies, we observed legal requirements, and took actions based on the facts and the law. I made my decisions without regard to President Trump's political association, activities, beliefs, or candidacy in the 2024 election. President Trump was charged because the evidence established that he willfully broke the law, the very laws he took an oath to uphold. Grand juries in two separate districts reached this conclusion based on his actions, as alleged in the indictments they returned. Rather than accept his defeat in the 2020 election, President Trump engaged in a criminal scheme to overturn the results and prevent the lawful transfer of power. After leaving office in January of 21, President Trump illegally kept classified documents at his Mar-a-Lago social club and repeatedly tried to obstruct justice to conceal his continued retention of those documents. Highly sensitive national security information was held in a ballroom and a bathroom. As I testify before the committee today, I want to be clear. I stand by my decisions as special counsel, including the decision to bring charges against President Trump. Our investigation developed proof beyond a reasonable doubt that President Trump engaged in criminal activity. If asked whether to prosecute a former president based on the same facts today, I would do so regardless of whether that president was a Democrat or a Republican. No one should be above the law in this country, and the law required that he be held to account, so that is what I did. To have done otherwise on the facts of these cases would have been to shirk my duties as a prosecutor and as a public servant, of which I had no intention of doing. I remain grateful for the counsel, judgment, and advice of my team. President Trump has sought to seek revenge against career prosecutors, FBI agents, and support staff simply for having worked on these cases. To vilify and seek retribution against these people is wrong. Those dedicated public servants are the best of us, and it has been a privilege to serve with them. After nearly 30 years of public service, including in international settings.
All right, we're going to hit the pause button here because we're up against a hard break. We will bring you straight back to that hearing in just a few moments. Don't go anywhere. In the meantime, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now. We're giving away a free T-shirt with every purchase as a thank you to you for supporting us. So again, thealexjonesstore.com. Get a free T-shirt, no minimum required, folks. We'll bring you straight back to that hearing in just a few moments. Don't go anywhere.
Every guest I have had in studio in the last 6 months, I've given our medical grade USP methylene Bluetooth. I don't even tell them what it's going to do. I just say, here, take this, see what happens. Within 15 to 30 minutes, every guest says they've gotten energy like they've never experienced. Clarity, focus. It's like a fog has lifted. Their critical thinking goes to the next level. And that's what the science shows it does in our cells. It's not a stimulant, but it has that effect because it electrochemically turns up the literal electrochemical electricity in the body. And so he was here a few months ago, didn't know what it was, known me for a long time, said, sure, he'll take it. He heard Kennedy talk about it, RFK Jr. He took it, and it was so game-changing. In the last few months, he ran out of the bottle I gave him, so he wanted more. And the first thing he wanted was to take some more before we even went live on air. That's how amazing this is. You want to do the plug, and I appreciate this.
I do. I came in
because you came in saying, I want more methylene blue, and then I looked over when you went on the air. You'd already slurped some down. Your mouth was blue. I said, you're Papa Smurf. So, Patrick Byrne.
How much is the correct amount to put in? About that much?
Yeah. I mean, Kennedy does three droppers. This is really strong.
You gave me some last time. I think you gave it on air. You totally feel the difference. I used the bottle. You gave me, it's great. It totally makes it, you can feel it. It just keeps your energy level up and plateaued without bonks. So I love it. I used the bottle you gave me, and I came back to Austin just to pick up a pump.
Well, you can always get it at thealexjonesshow.com, but we'll certainly give you all you want. We also have the capsules, but we have the strongest medical grade. It's super good for you. It cleans out your mitochondria. Most people get instant energy, like 99% of people, but it's the workout. It's what it does for your skin, your libido. So you've been on it a few months.
I just had that one bottle, but
and you're saying no letdown. That's the best part. It's not an amphetamine. It's not a speed, but it feels like that.
It's I see RFKs on it. Yeah, I just used up that bottle, and so for a couple of weeks I had this great energy. But it's not speed. It's not caffeine. It's nothing like that. It's doing something else for you. So I really
It skips three levels of the oxygenation process in the cells. It's just next level. It's incredible, and they've suppressed it. And my medical doctor 6 years ago said get on it. And I said, get USP grade. It didn't do anything. And then our sponsor got this super strong one. I'm like, oh, let me try it. Whoa. I mean, it funds the operation, folks. But I'm telling you, if you haven't gotten our USP grade, real USP grade, Ultimate Methylene Blue, TheOxygenStore.com, you are missing out. It is so good for you. 99% of people, it's more than that. Like, it was like 400 people, maybe two or three didn't feel it. Some get totally freaked out that they're going crazy. So talk to a physician first. Take a very low dose the first time. You can't take it on SSRIs and other things. It is amazing. TheAlexJonesShow.com. So,
yeah, it's not psychosomatic. It's not psychotic. You feel it. You feel it.
Well, I didn't tell you what you were going to feel. How fast did it kick in, and what did you feel?
I felt it by the time the end of the show. By the time I got, the last time I was here, I felt it probably by the end of the show or by the time I got my car. You feel instant energy, but without the jitteriness of caffeine and focus. What I felt was focus, mental focus. It's probably like why you are as intense as you are, Alex.
It's made me more intense. Well, I was taking full doses at first. And then working out so hard that I had to go.
You look jacked.
Well, I've cut back. The point is, I only take it every 3 days now because it's crazy. Everything we sell, I want is working and is good. That's what I want. I mean, I'll be like a restaurant. I ain't going to serve dog to people. They're not going to come back. But I mean, this thing is the most dramatic, quick acting, and it's good for you. It's just insane. And if I could just get a few more percentage of the audience to buy it, all our problems would be solved. Patrick Byrne was totally blown away by it, as every other guest we've given it to has been blown away.
Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome to the American Journal. We are back and we are keeping our eye right now on Jack Smith, who's testifying in front of the Judiciary Committee right now. Let's take a listen back in.
Without telling them these are members of Congress.
When we secured these toll record subpoenas, it was done consistent with department policy. You're correct in that that policy has since changed.
They changed the policy based upon the actions that you took. Similarly, you issued a gag order against President Trump that the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals vacated as overbroad. Is that correct?
Well, the D.C. Court of Appeals, in passing on that order, found that it was justified. They narrowed the order, but they confirmed that the phenomenon—
They narrowed the order because it was overbroad. In addition to that, you sought an early trial date that the district court rejected. And when you presented your prosecution memo to Attorney General Garland, it's been reported that he was visibly unimpressed and expressed First Amendment concerns. So, Mr. Smith, looking at the record, I see that you were reversed and rebuked by the Department of Justice itself, by the Attorney General, by the Solicitor General, by multiple district court justices, judges, by the Court of Appeals, and by the U.S. Supreme Court itself. So my final question is, Do you believe that you made any mistakes? Do you have any regrets as to how you conducted this investigation?
If I have any regret, it would be not expressing enough appreciation for my staff who work so hard in these investigations. We followed the facts and the law. These people who work for me sacrificed endlessly and have endured way too much for just doing their job. So if anything, I wish that I had thanked them.
Time of the gentleman.
No mistakes. There's that humility. Mr. Chair, I yield back.
Yeah, time of the gentleman's right. The chair now recognizes the ranking member for 5 minutes.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And the good gentleman from California certainly knows, because he was a student of mine, that lawyers go to court and sometimes they win motions and sometimes they lose motions, and there's no crime in any of that. And I'm just sorry that you had to be lectured about humility and restraint by a politician, because we might not be best poised to lecture you on those particular virtues. But let's go to the toll record, since that's been raised, Mr. Smith. First of all, Congress has allowed toll records to be subpoenaed. This committee has actually tried to limit it over the years, and the senators who are whining the most over on the Republican side in the Senate, they never went along with our determination to try to limit the government's ability to subpoena toll records. So it's perfectly lawful what you did. Explain, why did you want those toll records?
We wanted to conduct a thorough investigation of the matters that was assigned to me, including attempts to interfere with a lawful transfer of power. The conspiracy that we were investigating, it was relevant to get toll records to understand the scope of that conspiracy, who they were seeking to coerce, who they were seeking to influence, who was seeking to help them.
And that's normal investigative practice, right?
In conducting a criminal investigation, securing non-content toll records, as you described, is a common practice in almost any complex conspiracy.
Okay, let's go to something else that I've been hearing over the last week by our colleagues as they've eagerly anticipated your arrival here. They've been saying that there's some kind of First Amendment defense that Donald Trump would have had to the crimes you indicted him for. Is there a valid First Amendment defense to defrauding the public? Is there a valid First Amendment defense to disrupting a federal proceeding? Is there a valid First Amendment defense to violating the voting rights of the people and cheating the public out of a fair election?
The First Amendment is something that we took seriously in our investigation. But the First Amendment does not protect speech that facilitates a crime. Speech that is used to facilitate a crime, a fraud crime in particular, is not protected under the First Amendment. The Supreme Court precedent on that is clear. This is an issue that we litigated before the district court, and the district court ruled, as I just stated, that it is not, in fact, protected.
And the case law is perfectly clear on this, right? All frauds are perpetrated by speech, right?
Yes.
All conspiracies are perpetrated by speech. So just because your criminal conduct is brigaded with speech doesn't somehow mean you've got a First Amendment defense against trying to overthrow the government. I mean, the people who attacked the police officers on January 6th were chanting, "Hang Mike Pence." I suppose that was political speech. Or they were saying, "Stop the steal." Does that mean they've got a First Amendment defense to violent assault against the officers?
It does not.
William Barr, by the way, was somebody who was perfectly clear about that. Donald Trump's own attorney general said, there's no freedom of speech that you have to engage in a conspiracy, to overthrow an election, to commit crime. He was perfectly clear about that. Back in those days, in fact, lots of people on that side of the aisle, including my good friend, the chairman, denounced the violence that took place on January 6th. The cats got their tongue these days. My friend Chairman Jordan said, what happened last week was terrible, was tragic. It's as wrong can be, he said. Republicans, we know all political violence is wrong. I asked my friend Chairman Jordan at a rules hearing, are you also not interested in what happened to us on January 6th? He said, of course, everyone's interested in holding people accountable who did wrong. The FBI is doing that. The Justice Department is doing that, appropriately so. What do you think about the attack on the Department of Justice and the special counsel for doing your jobs?
I think the attack is unjustified. I think the people who worked with me as career public servants are people, they're part of the reason I've been a prosecutor for so long is to work with people like that, not just the prosecutors in my office, but also the agents, FBI agents who are heroes, who have served their country not only as agents, but also overseas. I think those attacks are unwarranted based on the facts, and I think that they have no basis in who we are as Americans, as a country. I don't see attacking people like that as anything appropriate.
Thank you. And, Mr. Chairman, I yield back to you.
The gentleman yields back. Mr. Smith, is Cassidy Hutchinson a liar? She was their star witness, January 6th committee, their star witness in one of those staged and choreographed hearings they paid the former president of ABC News to put together. She was, in fact, the only witness at this special primetime hearing, Tuesday, June 28th, 2022, 8 o'clock in the evening, and she told some stories. I mean, these were some stories. She talked about the president lunged across the back seat, grabbed the steering wheel, tried to drive the car to the Capitol. And I just want to know, you think she was lying?
Chairman Jordan, my assessment of that particular issue is that with respect to the testimony about someone the president lunging towards the driver, my recollection of her testimony about that is that it was secondhand. She had said she'd heard that from somebody.
You familiar with the name Tony Ornato?
I'm sorry.
You familiar with the name Tony Ornato?
Yes.
White House Deputy Chief of Operations, Deputy Chief of Staff for Operations, right? You remember what he said about it?
As I sit here right now, I do not.
Yeah, he said it didn't happen. How about Bobby Engle? You familiar with that name?
Yes, I am.
Secret Service agent who was actually in the car that day. You know what he said? He said it didn't happen. And they both said the first time they ever heard this story was when Ms. Hutchinson testified in the primetime hearing as their star witness of the January 6th committee. By the way, did you ever confirm her testimony about this particular incident?
Conducted, as I said before, our own independent investigation of all aspects of the case that we thought was relevant. We, attorneys from my office.
Did you ever confirm it? That's a simple question.
Well, we interviewed her, I should say, attorneys in my office before.
Did you ever confirm the president leaping across the seat, grabbing the steering wheel, this whole concoction she brought up in the January 6th hearing? Did you ever confirm that?
Right. We interviewed another firsthand witness. Who was in the car, who did not confirm that had happened, but also
in your deposition to the committee last month, Mr. Smith, you said this: my recollection with Ms. Hutchinson was a number of the things that she gave evidence on were secondhand hearsay. You remember making that statement to us last month in the deposition?
I did, and I was referring particularly to what we're talking about now.
Yeah, and you also said Ms. Hutchinson, regarding this particular claim, was a second or even third-hand witness. We asked you, if you were a defense attorney, how would you handle cross-examining her if she was on the witness stand? And you said, if I were a defense attorney and Ms. Hutchinson were a witness, the first thing I would do was seek to preclude her testimony because it was hearsay. You remember saying all that?
Yes, that's correct, sir.
That's correct, right? Were you going to put her on the witness stand if you ever got to trial?
We had not made final determinations as to who we were going to call as a witness. We had a large...
You were still considering her?
We had a large choice of witnesses in this case.
Are you familiar with what Washington Post reporters Carol Lenning and Aaron Davis said in their book? They did this book, 300-some pages book, on Chronicle and the whole investigation at the Justice Department. And here's what they said on page 310. They said, Jack Smith had wondered whether some of Hutchinson's claims might be relied upon at trial. Still, at one point, Smith told the elections team he wasn't ready to give up on Hutchinson's account. Ultimately, however, Trump administration officials uniformly, fiercely disputed her accounts under oath. Prosecutors on your team told Smith they wouldn't want to use Hutchinson as a witness in court, and Smith agreed. Are Carol Lenig and Aaron Davis, who wrote this, are they lying?
My recollection is that I certainly had not made any final determinations about who we were going to call.
And that's the point. That is the point. The fact that they used her in a primetime hearing and you won't rule out using her, didn't rule out using her, putting her on the witness stand when everybody knows she wasn't telling the truth, that says it all. That's the degree the left and Democrats were willing to go to get President Trump, putting on the witness stand someone everybody knows is making it up. Everybody knows that. And you were willing to do it. By the way, you know how many times Cassidy Hutchinson was mentioned in their report, the January 6th report? Any idea, Mr. Smith?
I do not.
185 times. Someone that the whole country knows wasn't telling the truth, and you were still considering putting her on the witness stand because you had to get President Trump. And everybody can see that. We better take a recess for votes. We will resume as soon as votes are over. Back here 10 minutes after. Mrs. Smith, you guys can go back to the room that you were in.
All right, so we're going to jump in here because they are in recess right now. But we're keeping our eye on what's going on with Mr. Jack Smith as he is testifying in front of the House Judiciary Committee. And I love the fact that we're calling out Hutchinson because she was a liar, an absolute liar. And it's really infuriating to sit back and to watch as it all unraveled. They were trying to legitimize her at any point because they didn't really have two people out there willing to do what she did for them. And again, nobody even heard of the story that she told them. Nobody heard of it. Nobody heard of it. Secret Service had no idea what she was talking about. But it made for quite the drama for those on the left. And they ran with it. They ran with it. Didn't need to fact check it. Didn't need to cross-reference anything. They had their golden gem of a lie and continued to push it. So again, we're going to wait until they come back. We will keep you informed as it develops, of course, on the Hill. We're also keeping our eye on the healthcare CEOs who are expected to testify in front of the Ways and Means Committee. That will happen at 12:30 p.m. Eastern time. Folks, there's a lot going on all around the world, and I want to make sure we keep you up to date. As we detailed previously, too, President Trump has officially taken us out of the World Health Organization. So that happened earlier today. Let's take you to Virginia, though, because Virginia is passing some really, or they're trying to pass some really poor legislation. As many of you guys know, there's been a transfer, obviously. It was being ran, the state itself was being ran by a Democrat, a Republican, and now it's being ran by a Democrat. So you're seeing all of these massive changes and all of these liberal pieces of legislation make their way forward. And, you know, I'm constantly trying to follow it. But apparently, according to Mr. Tom Renz, there's a new bill that's been put up, and this one's interesting. Virginia is attempting to pass legislation that would require public school teachers to teach that J6 was a violent insurrection. The 2020 election was not stolen. You got to brainwash those kids themselves when you got them in front of you. You can't have them go out there and to listen to independent outlets to feel a sense of unbalance. I mean, a sense of like nonpartisan, I guess I'd say. You know, other people are going out there and combating it. You got to brainwash these kids while you still have them in public schools. Virginia is an absolute is a disgrace right now. And the legislation that's popping up everywhere is deeply, deeply concerning. There was even another bill that Greg Price posted online. And I think it could possibly be related. Nope, these are two separate bills that are being put forward. Greg Price talking about a Virginia Democrats have introduced a bill that would mandate children to be taught inclusive history. That obviously would include those marginalized communities, you know, the people like the trannies and the queer people. You know, no one's ever actually been able to tell me what the definition of queer means. Just kind of a name we throw out there for gross lesbians. All right, let's switch it up too. Let's talk a little bit more in regards to... Hold on, I'm pulling it up. All right, let's talk about what's going on in regards to the fraud that's being exposed throughout Minnesota. As many of you guys know, Tim Walz really hasn't done much. In fact, when you look at what Tim Walz has done and who he's appointed to key positions, even the positions that are meant to investigate the fraud, you find out that he hasn't really done much. In fact, he's probably really teetering down a criminal liability angle in all of this. Take a listen to clip 24.
You view your role as supporting agencies to do their job, but not holding them accountable. Am I understanding that?
Madam Chair, we do not have a tool to hold agencies accountable.
So what would that tool be? What do you need? Because under statute, that is your responsibility for internal controls. So if you don't have the tools and it's yet your statutory responsibility, like, what do you need?
I want to be clear that when you look at the state statute, subdivision 8 of 16A.057 specifically states that the head of each executive agency is responsible for designing, implementing, and maintaining an effective internal control system within the agency that complies with the requirements of the subdivisions. I mean, I know you're asking the question of what do we need to hold agencies accountable? I would view that differently, and that would be to say, what do we need for agencies to be successful?
Okay, I would just like to point out that in Statute 16A, 057, it says the commissioner, meaning of MMB, is responsible for the system of internal controls across the executive branch. Sub 1, safeguard public funds and assess and assets and minimize incidents of fraud, waste, and abuse. That is the responsibility of the commissioner of MMB.
And Chair Robbins, the way that we do that is by creating a framework for agencies to use and providing support and resources and tools for them to use in order to identify and implement their own internal controls.
And when they fail at that, what do you do?
Go ahead. Chair Robbins, what we do is step
nothing.
In with support.
We do nothing. We give them support. We give them more funding. More funding. We do nothing. No, we don't need any help trying to uncover fraud. Come on, lady. We're just cutting checks to foreign countries. Money meant to help the lives of Americans. Nah. These people are all criminals. They're all criminals. They're all criminals. And the frustrating part is, you know, we've allowed it to happen. I mean, what more needs to be done? Probably got to start dragging people off to prison. I mean, this is becoming so enraging. Oh, by the way, the DOJ did announce that there was a second arrest of another individual who was apparently present during that protest outside of that church in Minnesota. They've arrested two now. But, like, this is the bare minimum. Again, they're going for the lowest hanging fruit. You're going after activists. And again, yes, they should be arrested. But we're asking for more. We're asking for things of substance. We're asking for people to be held accountable because you get the strongly worded statements that continuously drop, but you don't get the actual action to follow it. You're telling me that people should fear the DOJ if they are criminals, if they're doing illegal activity, if they're participating in corruption, but you're not actually showing us what the consequences of it are. Cool, you got two people. Awesome. Great. And again, these are, I just saw, and it's really unfortunate, Harmeet Dhillon used the term black pillars. Black pillars. I'm so tired of the term being used for people who are just looking for accountability. And you at home are allowed to ask for accountability. You are, because guess what? You are a voter and you're a taxpayer. It's so crazy that they want to, it's like the new conspiracy theorists, right? When they go around, they try to slap down anyone saying things that are not narrative friendly. Conspiracy theorists. The black pillar is the same exact thing. It's meant to have that same type of mental effect on folks. It's a psyop, everything is these days. I'm just so done with it. The American people deserve more. They deserve more. And if you want to go after them for trying to hold and voicing why they are actually disappointed in this current administration. You want to call them a name? Okay, whatever. We've been called names before. All you're doing is being more divisive when you throw a name at someone who's just saying, hey, listen, I want you to do what needs to be done to save this country. Big arrests, not the little ones, you know, although they're nice. kudos to you. These aren't the arrests that we continuously ask for. And they know this. They know this. And again, once a Democrat gets in there, I mean, it's going to be significantly worse. I don't know how else to describe it. You haven't done anything to show that there are consequences when you try to destroy this country and you try to tear it down. They haven't done anything. They haven't done anything. And so you want me to get all happy about this? No, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. I have no excitement right now with what's going on right now at the DOJ. None. None. And we were all pumped up at the very beginning of all of this because we figured that, yes, people who have tried to destroy this country were going to be held accountable. But you damn blackpillers are the reason why this is not going well for us. You're the reason why Republicans are going to lose for the midterms. Blackpillers, people online who are just voicing criticism, which is allowed through free speech, of course. It's really quite disturbing. You know, we can just say, okay, great, two arrests. That was nice. But they weren't alone, right? There were other people there who were also participating in their so-called protests. Or if you're Don Lemon, it was an operation. And again, this is just low-hanging fruit, right? That's the easy win. That's the easy win. The rest of them, the more controversial ones, the ones that are going to tick off all the right people in the deep state, just keep waiting. Just keep waiting. Justice will come eventually. DHS has launched a brand new public online database, which is expected to expose the illegal aliens who are being rounded up by the agency. Now, again, President Trump has voiced his concerns about, you know, how we're not detailing who these people are that we're deporting, the violent criminals. DHS does a good job with that, but I guess this is their way of trying to fulfill the president's request. And so they've now created this website that will go out there and show you who they've gotten. It's filtered by crime, country of origin, and the state where the arrest was taking place. Again, they're not hiding any of this. It's pretty much in front of your face, just whether or not you choose to want to follow the facts. Again, I see the emails. I got another one today. They're putting out emails that go after the worst of the worst and detailing who they're capturing. Whether or not the media tells you about that is up to the media. Obviously, it doesn't fit the narrative, and they can't tell you about all the pedophiles that are being swept up in all of this. They also didn't tell you that the Biden administration, when they were operating the human smuggling trafficking ring, whatever you want to call it, back when we had open borders, that those scumbags allowed convicted pedophiles into our country, known rapists. And I know this because I obtained the documents through suing TSA that they in fact knew that these people were rapists. They knew that they were sort of pedophiles and they still let them into our country anyway. They just had to sign a little document that says, oh, I'll take an online course to help me no longer to be a pedophile. Because we all know that's how things work. Thanks for getting that up, guys. All right, guys, we got more to discuss in just a little bit. Don't go anywhere. Buckle up. In the meantime, though, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. When you support us, we support you by giving you free gear. We're doing just that over at thealexjonesstore.com right now. No minimum required, and you get this $40 t-shirt for free. Again, this is going on for just a couple more days. This will end on Sunday. So head on over to the shop and make sure you snag this incredible deal.
I'm jacked up on the meth lane. Blue is the best thing you guys have ever had.
It clears the brain fog where you're actually able to focus more clearly.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible. Best product that I've purchased so far.
I started having seizures like a few years ago, and everybody in my family knows I'm a neuroscientist.
What did you do to fix it?
Methylene blue.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson was on here talking about it.
This stuff works, man.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water?
Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
Methylene blue.
Show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
You shouldn't have to tell a doctor about methylene blue. I think everybody should know about it. It's changed my life.
I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures without it. And I was bad, really bad. So I ordered it, I started taking it, and boy, let me tell you something. What a blessing.
I do subscribe to the Methylene Blue. I feel better. I feel like I'm 25.
Like you said, I've been taking the Methylene Blue, and it is freaking awesome. I actually subscribe monthly now to it, and I got a couple other people that I work with. I gave them it, and they did the same thing.
About 15 minutes ago, I took
10 drops of the Ultimate Methylene Blue. Definitely noticed my focus, cognition increased, good energy right now.
I must say that it does a damn good job.
Let me tell you something. I'm walking without a cane. I take one pill a day of the ivermectin with the Methylene Blue. And I got to tell you, what a blessing. I am so blessed.
Powered by Methylene Blue. Ultra Methylene Blue at theallergystore.com.